Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Welcome all of you here, and all of you joining right now who's been waiting to come in and join. Welcome to this evening Bible study. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Thank you so much for tuning in and being part of this evening Bible study. It is a joy for me to share the Word of God with you. I do understand that I've been preaching a lot lately and teaching a lot lately continuously. And sometimes it gets a little bit, you know, challenging. Sometimes you fall asleep on top of your Bible or, you know, on your computer or whatever the case might be. But this is thoroughly enjoyable. I enjoy doing this. You know, I have fun, you know, sharing the Word of God, speaking about the Lord, and sharing ultimately what I learn, what the Holy Spirit reveals, and things that speak so profoundly to me, and whatever the Spirit gives to me to minister to His people. So I pray that you are blessed this evening with our Bible study. Praise God. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. We worship you. Lord, we love you. And I pray, Lord, that you would manifest yourself, Lord, strongly this evening, Lord, in this place. I pray, Lord, that the minds of your people will be open to receive what the Spirit, Lord, has to say for them this evening. Be glorified, Lord, here in our midst. May your people, Lord, hear and see you and not me. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All things work for the good, right? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who love God, who love Him, depending on the translation that you are reading. And ultimately, do you truly believe this statement? Amen. And you should. By all means. And your actions should reflect this exact statement, which that's where the challenge is. That's where it's different. It's one thing for us to acknowledge and for us to be like, yeah, woohoo, and then all of a sudden put our actions into our words. But yes, it is true. All things work together for the good to those that love Christ Jesus. And this is including the not so fortunate things, the bad things. And this is one lesson that I have been learning over the course of time. You know, why didn't I find this? And how is it that I cannot find that? And why am I late to this and to that? And then later on, I find out why. Later on, I find out that I just escaped an accident. Or my wife just escaped an accident. Or her sister, a massive car accident that shut down the road just minutes before she arrived at that exact spot on the traveling road. I mean, so many things, so many examples. It goes both ways. All things literally means all things. Now, lately we have in the men's meeting on Saturday, just so you know, the first Saturday and the third Saturday of the month, we have a men's meeting at 8 a.m., bright and early on a Saturday. Yes! From 8 a.m. to 9:30. And for several months now, we have been going through the book of Romans, the entire book. And we finally got through the book, but then we just felt like we had to go back to Romans chapter 8. And to a lot of people, to a lot of scholars, to a lot of preachers, some will say that Romans chapter 8 is the most important chapter in the entire Bible. Now, please don't get me misconstrued, all right? I'm not devalorizing everything prior to it or everything after it. No. But Romans 8 is just pulp. just massive pulp, just, yes, goodness. It's a very, 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 very important chapter. Group of verses, chapter in the Bible. And it is so much so that when we visited this past Saturday, two Saturdays ago, an hour and a half wasn't enough. So we're going to gladly continue another session and potentially, you know, finish talking about the second half of Romans chapter 8. But in Romans 8, Paul has much greater things in his mind than the ability of God to turn all of our adversaries into ultimately an advantage. It goes beyond that. He has something else in mind. And we're going to talk about these things this evening, and I just have a feeling that this might be a two-part sermon, as it has been several parts in our men's meeting. So I have a few things that I want to run by you. I do have a list of verses that I need to get through, and because of that, I think this is what is going to prolong it. But I would like to read this evening Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start in verses 28, and I'm going to take it all the way over to 39. I'm going to give you guys a quick moment to turn your Bibles there. All right, potentially you that's at home. You might enjoy the Passion Translation, or you might enjoy the NIV or the ESV. Today we're going to be reading out of the New King James. Amen. Praise God. And the word of the Lord says, Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is He who is He who condemns? Pardon me. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise God. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the Apostle Paul here in this passage has something much greater in his mind besides turning our adversaries into not so adversaries or into our advantage. There are things behind all of this. There is a purpose and there is a plan. And actually, it is the things of God. His plan and its elements that He so beautifully brings together for our behalf. There are five components specified in our text that I want us to consider in this evening Bible study. There are five things that I don't want you guys to overlook every single time you're going through these passages. I'm going to break down a few of them right off the bat, and then I'm going to go one by one. One of the things is foreknowledge. Paul speaks about foreknowledge here. He speaks about predestination. He speaks about calling, the calling. He speaks about justification, and he speaks about glorification. These are all the things that I want to cover this evening. In the group of texts that we just finished reading right now, starting with foreknowledge. Now, how much do you put emphasis, how much do you value foreknowledge? I think it's a total game changer. Do you think if two NFL teams, football teams, right, are playing against each other, let's make it even interesting. Let's say they're playing a playoff game, to whereas the loser goes home and the winner continues with his season or their season. If in case one of the teams knows ahead of time the playbook and the play call, even furthermore, how it's going to be called, what are the chances that they're actually going to win that game? That's known as foreknowledge. All coaches, I would think, in about just about in most sports or team sports, I should say, even in mixed martial arts, professional mixed martial arts, they study the opponent. They look at their weakness, right? They look at tapes. This is what they say. This, in a way, is a form of foreknowledge. Basically, to foreknow is simply to know before, right? Okay, that guy over there is very slow, so we're going to pair him with him. That guy there is really super fast, so I need to get my fastest guy on the team to pair up with that guy, or else he's going to run through us, he's going to burn us, right? Foreknowledge. The Greek word here is prognosis. A doctor's prognosis is his forecast of what course a disease will take, how it's going to develop, how it developed, how long it's going to take for this sickness to go through your body and expelled. Now, admittedly, his forecast is based basically upon prior experiences that he might have had in one particular case, or this particular case, or this might be his expertise. If in case I'm having an issue with my nails, they're not growing properly, or I have some sort of skin problem, right? I'm going to go see who? A dermatologist, that's exactly right. I won't exactly be searching for a heart doctor or endocrinologist or whatever the case might be, right? Why? Because this particular person has the experience. So they're able to know, to do a forecast. They have foreknowledge. They've gone through this before. And believe it or not, such forecasts or prognoses sometimes are subject to error. Correct? Sometimes we just whiff it. But God's foreknowledge is perfect. It is always, always, always perfect. It never misses. It's on target. It's always on point. When God reveals to us what will happen before the actual event happens, we can have What's called foreknowledge. And this is for every single one of us. All of us can have foreknowledge. This is not just reserved for the co-pastor or for the pastor or for the ministers, for the Sunday school teachers or anything like that. That's for you and I. Every single one of us. Sometimes I refer to this as the edge. You've heard me say this before, right? The edge that we have as Christians coming through the Holy Spirit. Let me bring to your attention right now 2 Peter 3. We're going to cover a bunch of verses here. Verses 10 through 18, please. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for a hastening of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwell. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. And here's the key part here, these last two verses. Verses 17 says, you brethren, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now, after just reading this set of verses right now, specifically verses 17 and 18, you see the verses that led up to it, starting from verses 10, but then you get to verses 17 and 18. And now Peter all of a sudden say, now watch it. Be careful. Now that you know this, be aware, be careful, because you have foreknowledge. Don't be cast away. Don't be driven this way or that way like some folks do who don't understand the Bible, misinterpret things, come up with their own doctrines. Be careful. All this foreknowledge comes from one place, that is from through the grace of God, through his Holy Spirit, as is mentioned here in the very end in verses 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do this, we automatically get foreknowledge through the Holy Spirit. Moving on, the second thing that I want to talk about, stemming out of Romans chapter 8, is predestination. Predestination means to decide or determine beforehand. I'm going to repeat that once again. Predestination means to decide or to determine beforehand. Or to do so in advance. Wouldn't you say that's equally important? We predestine a vacation when we decide what attraction we want to see, right? So then we plan on it. We plan on what? What roads we are going to take? What time of the day we're going to leave? Or what time of the morning, depending if it's rush hour? We make hotel reservations ahead of time. We buy plane tickets if you're going far away ahead of time. You know, I enjoy flying. And along with flying small single engine airplanes, you have to plan ahead of time. You can't just hop on a plane and go shroom and just go. No. You got to check the weather. That's like up here in your list. Weather conditions, wind conditions. Check with that airport. You have to check your airplane. Go through the entire checklist inside and out. There's so many things that you have to do. You have to look at your weight. You have to compare the weight to what the plane can carry in conjunction to how much fuel are on the wings of the airplane. All these things, how many passengers you're going to carry, between so many other things that you have to plan ahead of time, right? The same thing is with you. I got to put in my GPS because I would like to go this weekend to, let's just say, Ocean City. And I'm going to go to the beach. Ocean City from here is about, well, I won't say how fast I can make it to Ocean City. So let's just call it 4 hours, right? Wink, wink. Anyhow. Oh, don't say two, sister. Woo! Wow, we'll keep you in our prayer. But anyways, so you want to make sure you have enough fuel. You plan fuel on your car, right? Do I have the right car for the trip? For me to take the cooler? For me to take all the necessities that go along with that? Where are we going to stay? Are we driving a camper? Are we going to stay in there? Do we need a hotel? Let's check the rates. All these things, predestined. We do this. We know how to do this. We do it every single day, right? Well, God, the Lord our God, predestined many things regarding salvation. I would like to bring a couple of them to your attention. Did you know that he predestined ahead of time the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Can I bring to your attention now Acts 2, 22 through 33. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foreknew the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you in the patriarch David, of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Wow. Ultimately, what I'm trying to say here in all these verses is that this was from the very beginning. From the very beginning, the Lord our God, God the Father, predestined that His Son would die on the cross for us. I made a comment this past Sunday morning about all these different religions that are around us. And someone might ask, well, why is it that all these religions come about? And there are millions and millions of people that are all going after this new thing or that new thing or something that has been established for centuries. And one thing that I mentioned this past Sunday morning is that the life of our Lord Jesus was recorded hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years prior to him ever stepping foot on earth as a man. His birth was recorded. His life was recorded. His death was recorded. But you can't say the same for Buddha. You can't say the same for Muhammad. No one prophesied for these men coming prior to them being here, or how they lived their life, or anything about their death. And their tombs right now are occupied, but not of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All these things were predestined by our Heavenly Father for our salvation. And as a result, something else was predestined was you and I being adopted as sons and daughters with full right of inheritance. You and I, when we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I please have Ephesians 1, 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Let us be reminded of ourselves, of the benefits that we have when we dedicate our lives to God, when we serve God with all of our hearts. There are some benefits to come along with that. And now I briefly want to show you just a few verses down the road. Now moving on to verses 11, please. Ephesians 1, 11 says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of His will, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That is you and I. This is what is entitled to us. When we give our life to the Lord promises us. He promises us that we have an inheritance through our Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, eternal life as the reward. Eternal life with our Lord God. May I have Titus chapter 1. And we're going to cover the first four verses, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son of our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praise God. It is a wonderful thing to know that it's been predestined since ahead of time, since time began, I should say, that I have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing is also very important for us to understand. And oftentimes this is very much overlooked because we become comfortable. Because we forget. Because we get so much tied up with the cares of this world, the necessities and the responsibilities, that we overlook one key thing, and that is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whose Son? God's Son. It's very important for us to never forget that this is supposed to be our character. If you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven, if you have an opportunity to serve God, you have to be in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. May I please have 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. These words, folks, are so profound right now that you have no idea. So profound. Being a Christian is not simply belonging to a church or having completed a certain set of requirements. No. Okay, so I went through membership class, I went through baptism class, and then I got baptized. Okay, I guess I'm good now. I've stamped my ticket. I'm good to go. Let's go. Let's live on my life. No, 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 no. When I read this passage here, because Christ also suffered for us. And I stop in here and I think, and then I read the rest of this verse, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. What steps? To be like Jesus. You can lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. You can call something into existence that wasn't there before. You can move that mountain. It's all inside of you. It's something that we are discussing deeply in men's meeting right now. The power that's inside every single one of us, that was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ through His suffering, the Holy Spirit and His seal inside of you. You know, a question was raised not too long ago by a man of God who said these words. Do you think Christianity is simply just coming into church, clapping our hands, saying all these things and going home? Do you think our Lord is simply pleased with all of this? A better question is this. Did He die for our sins and went through everything that He went through? For just simply that? I venture to say no. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the verse described here, suffered for us. He suffered like no man has ever suffered. I mean, He went through it. Through and through. For us to just be lukewarm. For us to be happy one day, sad another day. For us to go up and down, emotional roller coaster, up and down, to them having a great day, to them having a sad day. And here the Lord is just looking at you and saying, it's already done, dude. Bro, come on. No. We are to follow in His footsteps. We are to be glad in Him. This is why the Lord died on the cross for us. And this is why the Bible says that we need to conform to the image of His Son. It is possible. It is not impossible. It is molding our lives to conform to the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. The willingness, the drive, the want, and then becoming partakers of this divine nature. You are able to partake of all these things. Yes, you are. Please pardon if in case these might be some harsh words, but I'm trying to stir you up, brother. I'm trying to stir you up, sister, to want, to thrive, to put in the effort, to seek his face, because this is what he wants. He left an example for every single one of us, for us to be like him. If the Lord God told us to be like his son, Jesus Christ, wouldn't you think that it's possible? That it's absolutely possible? 100%. It is not impossible. My final verse here for this evening is going to come from 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to cover verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God, of God, and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things, and now, here's the key point here, folks. Pay attention if in case you're wondering, how do we do this? Verses 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will never, pardon me, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know the formula? There's the formula. Verses 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed, that he was cleansed, pardon me, from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, wonder no more. This is how you do it. This is how we can be like Jesus. This is how we're able to be like Christ. The Bible made a promise for all of us that you will not stumble. You will not stumble if you do all these things. If we are able to maintain right here and grow in this path, you're going to be in the likeness of the Lord our God, of Jesus Christ. Amen. We glorify the name of our Lord Jesus by changing our lives to be like him. I glorify the Lord my God that I'm a different person from just 10, 12 years ago. A completely different person. A lot of you knew me around that time. A lot of you knew me for a very long time. And so, when we look to our Lord Jesus Christ, when we continuously have our beacon face to him, we start to be like him. Let me share you this pretty cool story that I came across. It is said that a young boy lived close to a mountain that had a sculpture of a very noble-looking face carved on the side of it. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what mountain I'm talking about. He looked at that face or those faces for many times during the course of his growing up until he himself began to take the features of the faces that he was looking at in his own face. Imagine. a young boy growing up. And now, similar to this story, so it is with us. It is no different. We too need to look upon and use the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives to extend Him to us. We too could be just like our Lord Jesus Christ if we continuously look to Him. If we continuously seek Him, we will be like Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That has been predestined. That has been predestined for every single one of us. Think about that. That's you and I. It's done. Now claim it by faith and act on it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue next Wednesday. And for now, let's close with a brief word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bless you. Exalted, Lord, be your name. Lord, we all want to be like Jesus. We all want to be like you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we can apply ourselves every single day to look to you, to seek you, to hear your voice, to have that unity, that oneness, Lord, that our soul crave so, so much. I pray, Lord, that we don't get entangled and tied up with this life's worries, with our personal lives, our business lives. I pray, Lord, that nothing takes away from our time with you, nor spouse, nor children, nor work, nor hobby, or anything, Lord. May we make you, Lord, number one. Because it's been predestined, Lord, for us to be just like you. And may the enemy, Lord, never take that away from us. Speak to your people, Lord, this evening. Speak to every single one of them, Lord. Speak to them in a mighty way. Light the fire, Lord, that is in their souls. May they seek you, Lord, with all truth, with all humility, with humbleness, with all eagerness. Because, Lord, you are a rewarder of everyone, Lord, for all those who did diligently seek you. And may we, Lord, diligently seek you every single day. Once again, Lord, we love you. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.